The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Somewhere beyond the deepest jungles of Africa lies a buried weapon of such magnitude as to grant an overlord unbreakable control over humankind until the end of days. And there is a prince who is only too eager to help him find it. Cain must forge into the Dark Continent, where death can hide in every shadow, to thwart the plans of Overlord Utu.
Mine the glory, Cain. Mine the glory. Fortune favored the sons of men for long enough. That time is over. Accept it.
I guess the Overlords aren't underestimating us the same way they did when they were barons.
A tribal kingdom is torn apart in the struggle of royal heirs, half-siblings, one worthy, one wicked. In their blood runs the key to Lord Utu's plans.
What are you really?
What I am is of no importance to you, Princess. It is what you are, and in what way you will serve me, that should concern you now.
Utu is the ancient god of all of Africa, sister. With his help, we will once again form a mighty army and will sweep forth upon the world like a pride of lions to restore our glory.
Untold power, ripe for the taking, lies wrapped in riddles, its doorway barred to all but a few. The question is, who will get there first? And God help Cain if he fails. The answer lies beyond the rim of the world.
Outlanders number 37, Rim of the World, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting October 2006.
Panama, Guatemala, Mexico. They're pissed off and they're not going to take it anymore. United in their determination to reclaim their identity from rich elitists and corrupt politicians, the people stage national strikes. Miami, San Diego, Los Angeles. Cities swamped, literally and figuratively, with the pent-up anger and resentment of their southern neighbors. The borders are being overwhelmed, and with the National Guard's attention focused in the Middle East, there is very little to stop the hordes from storming the Yankee Nation. Cancun. The revolution has begun. From the sex and sun capital of Mexico, the insurgents, as masterminded by Diego Garcia, has been launched. Fueled by a desire for revenge, backing from Cuba and China, and the knowledge that his time is running out, he initiates his plans for immortality.
The hostages, the women and children, use them as human shields! My plan is working, and I will not have it disrupted for any reason! Viva la revolución!
May I ask what you plan to do with them after the attack?
They are going to die along with the rest of the Yankees. I'm not going to exempt the females so they can breed even more enemies of the people. We have too many enemies as it is.
Of course, comrade. That is only fitting.
Against this environment of border state chaos fueled by Garcia's insanity, Mac Bolan has a mission to recover a package. Hal Brognola, the head of Stony Man Farm. Bolan's mission quickly escalates to include securing the safety of thousands of hostages, second-guessing the actions of a madman, and fighting for the integrity of American soil and freedom.
Okay, my partner and I will clear the terrorists off the deck for you. When we've thinned them out, I'll give you the go. Run straight out, dive off the deck, and start swimming. The guards along the sides will try to shoot at you, so stay underwater as long as you can. Got it?
Let's do it.
Thank you. Thank you. They were going to kill us, and you saved us.
You should have stayed in Cuba, compadre. Communism's dead. And now, so are you.
Mac Bolan, number 95, Silent Running, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting October 2006.
And now, our feature presentation.
A movie in your ears.
Previously on Deathlands.
Ryan Cotter and his allies have been from one end of the Deathlands to the other, with both nature and man providing untold dangers. This time, Cotter will face the worst of both.
Guy, his name?
Get out of the way, Doc!
Ryan Cotter finds himself thrown into an impossible mission, weighed against the lives of those he holds nearest and dearest.
You take your men to Yuma and come back with the Kurs who killed my son. I will hold your women and child. If you fail to come back with prisoners I can dispatch myself, I will take the women to wife and adopt your boy as my own son. You'll never see them again.
Ryan has only 10 days to reach the fortress-like home of Baron Wizard Cypher, a man with a lust for adventure. And one of his men knows Ryan's friend J.B. Dix all too well.
It's like you said, Ryan.
About this ville?
About the people in it. Well, one particular son of a bitch in it.
Which man? Jennison?
Yeah.
What about him?
The lives of his companions are on the line, in a vendetta that Ryan Cotter wants no part of. There's killing to be done in Deathlands number 18, Shockscape. It was way below freezing, the snow packed tight and hard, and a bright sun poured down from a sky of chemstorm purplish pink. Ryan led the way, with Christy at his heels. Then came Dean with Mildred, Michael, and Doc. JB brought up the rear. Doc found the going difficult, laboring with the exertion, his breath hanging in the still air.
Altitude and I were never the best of friends. I don't suppose that it might be possible to snatch a short rest, would it?
We're going almost exactly 2 hours. The posse will be on our tracks now. We've done around 6 miles, maybe 7. If we keep moving, then we should reach the trail up to the redoubt by late afternoon. I'm sorry, Doc. We have to step it out best we can.
I could wait behind and snipe at them. Slow them down some.
Be a good number of them. And Coburn's bright. He knows the land around. Could circle and cut you off. Now, fast and hard's the only ace in the line we got.
They're closing on us.
They'd climbed up a winding snakeback trail to a narrow ridge, and had stopped to take five. But the tiny ant-like figures of Coburn and his Sekhmen were visibly nearer.
Barely an hour. Let's go. At least we can see where we're heading now. Be at the foot of the last climb in about 2 hours.
I am most dreadfully sorry, my dear fellow, but I have reached the end of what is often called the tether. I do not believe I am able to set another foot forward.
Doc slumped on the floor, his head between his knees, fighting for breath. His face was as pale as polished ivory, and a thread of spittle trickled from the corner of his lips. Mildred knelt to examine him, checking his pulse. She looked up at Ryan, concern in her eyes.
Not so good.
They were more than a third of the way up the steep track toward the concealed entrance to the redoubt. Ryan had been pleased at the rate of progress, seeing that Coburn and his men were slowly gaining on them. Now they were probably within 3/4 of an hour of them, but the slope was almost sheer, and they too would have to slow down. Light was failing as they climbed in the lee of the mountain.
Doc, we can reach the entrance in about 30 minutes or so. Take it in short spells. Go 50 steps, then rest a while. That way you can do it.
I shall do my best. Lean on my cane. When the going gets impossible, then the impossible gets something or other.
One of their pursuers attempted a shot with an M16, but the bullet was wide and short. Ryan considered trying for Coburn with the Steyr, but he held off the idea. They were now within 100 feet of the ledge. Dean had slipped once in his eagerness, but Michael had grabbed him by the arm and kept him safe.
We're nearly there. You okay, Doc?
I am a degree or two less than adequate, but I believe I shall accomplish the zenith, the perihelion of... Or should that be aphelion? I always become a trifle confused.
Doc, more climb and less talk.
They made it, just as dusk was closing in across the Colorado Mountains.
Oh.